Simon Calder, and without Mick Webb, because I am going solo today because I'm covering an extraordinary event. This is the Race Across Europe. I'm at Trafalgar Square, well, to be exactly specific, in the Pret-a-Manger Cafe, which is adjacent to that great hub of London life. And this is the starting point, Trafalgar Square, not Pret-a-Manger, of the Trans-European Race. It begins in a few hours, going from London to Istanbul. And these ideas have to have the person who started them, and I'm delighted to be with that person. It is James Finnerty, who is a partner of Lupine Travel, based in Wigan. But James, welcome to You Should Have Been There. And for goodness sake, what's the big idea?
Yeah, sure. So several years ago, before the pandemic, I had the idea to come up with this event based on frustrations I'd been fed back to me from clients of our company. If you'd heard of the Mongol Rally, it's an event where people spend about a month to 5 weeks driving across Eurasia in usually clapped out old bangers. And I've met so many people that really wanted to do it, but they just couldn't get that amount of time off work. So I started trying to figure out if we could do something like shorter, maybe a 2 week car rally. And then I thought, oh, you know what, maybe a train journey would be more romantic. And that was sort of the embryo for what we've ended up with today, which is a surprise adventure race by public transport.
Surprise adventure race public transport. That is going to strike, I think, terror into the hearts of some people, particularly in a year where rail strikes are very prevalent and all kinds of shenanigans going on across Europe. So, well, talk me through it then. I want to enter this race, and it's, I have to pay you some money, and then what happens?
Yeah, so after the entrants have entered, we've collected their details. Over the last few months, we've been giving them updates as things progress and more of the information's in place. There's a set of rules to follow, and there's separate three different award categories for fastest finisher, lowest budget, most countries visited, and then on race day, like now, in about an hour's time, there's going to be an event. Today's is at the back of St. Martin in the Fields Church. They'll have a bit of time to mingle, collect their race packs, which contain all the information for the event. And then this year, we've actually snuck in a bit of a theme. And I imagine this is going to go live after the event. So there's a bit of a spy theme. They're on like a mission to deliver a covert message. So I'm going to give them a bit of a briefing to set the atmosphere. And it sets a bit of a theme for some of the checkpoints have got like an interactive element just to add a bit more, I don't know, je ne sais quoi to the event. And at 10 o'clock on the dot, off they go. Ahead of time, they've been given the first checkpoint, which is in Paris, because, you know, forcing people to purchase a last-minute Eurostar ticket would be exploitative, I would say, or I don't know what the best word is.
It would be expensive. I just checked £325 for the first train you could possibly catch leaving Trafalgar Square at 10 a.m. So, yes. And by making Paris the first stop, it naturally kind of gives the whole Orient Express feel, and that, of course, the celebrated train, which had a number of routes, but the main one, from which I recall, was Munich, Vienna, Budapest, Belgrade, Sofia, and through to Istanbul. So were I planning to be on this, I would be looking at that route. I might even be making a couple of bookings in advance, but then you could throw in something like, oh, go to Berlin, go to Milan, go to Venice, go to Ljubljana. And I don't know if you're going to do that.
Well, that's part of the stress and the fun, I guess. I mean, it does sort of, probably not everybody's cup of tea. But no, I've not been, I mean, this is primarily, obviously it's a competitive race and some people are doing it competitively. But when we marketed it, one key thing we were to push is that you don't have to do it whistle stop and as a crazy event. It's been designed in a way that if you want to take as long as possible before the cutoff at the end of the event, which is 7.5 days, you can enjoy yourself. And yeah, it's not, I'm not cruel. I've not put checkpoints on top of mountains or buried in the woods there. The checkpoints are all things you'd like to see and do. And they're all places that would be nice to go to. It's not, yeah, I'm not sending them to, you know, rough neighbourhoods or to cities that no one would ever go to.
And let's jump ahead to the far end. Where am I going to meet you in Istanbul. What happens at the end? I mean, are you once we finish talking here, once you've briefed everybody, are you on the next plane out to Istanbul?
Yeah, so we're flying out on a Tuesday to set up the finish checkpoint. The finish checkpoint is going to be run out of the lobby of the hotel that I'll be staying in. And then for the finish party, we've got a sunset cruise on the Bosphorus. And the cutoff deadline of the race is the second the boat sets sail. So, yeah, if they can't make the checkpoint at the hotel, they come straight to the boat. And if they physically get on the boat, then they can join the awards party where we'll give out the trophies and celebrate the winners.
Are you wishing that you were taking part in this, or are you just enjoying the idea of being there omniscient and waiting for people to catch up with you in Istanbul, where you very wisely flew in 4 hours flat?
There is a part of me that wishes I was doing it. I mean, one thing that makes that kind of tricky is that the fact I know the checkpoints and where it's all going means that it's not as inherently exciting because I don't have the mystery. But it would be nice if someone else did a similar kind of it. I think it would appeal to me. I mean, in the past, I've done bicycle touring and the freedom of a bit of a surprise or of where you're going. You know, it's so easy to remove that from your recreational travels. I mean, a lot of maybe yourself as well. When you've got a week of time off or 2 weeks, I obsess planning it, trying to get as much in as possible, and you remove the improvisation from it. And I think that's what I really liked and what I put into this event was it forces people to improvise. They don't know what's going to happen. Because, you know, we all say, I'll take 2 weeks off next summer and go randomly travel around Europe. And then the anxiety sets in and you start booking hotels and booking stuff. And then
personally, I don't. But there we are. And sometimes that ends you up in all sorts of scrapes. But most of the time it works out. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hopefully it can give people that bit of improvisation for sure.
Well, James, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Simon.
I've now moved into the courtyard of St Martin's in the Fields. And this is a very interesting location right now because a trickle of competitors has started to arrive. This is just around the back of Trafalgar Square. And there's, I guess we would have to say, a gazebo with all kinds of interesting things, including somebody providing tea. But much more importantly, I think the first competitor to arrive is Louise Kennedy, and she's very kindly agreed to talk to me. Louise, tell me, what on earth are you doing here?
I am here because I am on a holiday, family holiday, with my cousin. So my cousin Dan has arranged this for us with his daughter Mia. So we're going to do it, the three of us, as a family adventure.
So you're not, this isn't, you haven't thought, I'm going to do this. You've just turned,
no, you've been roped into it.
Okay, yes.
I have.
Press gang, people would
exactly,
say.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and I've come all the way from the Isle of Skye.
You have not.
I have, yeah.
But that's, I mean, but Isle of Skye to Istanbul is a whole new thing.
I know, right? I mean, it's taken me 2 days to get here. No, I'm joking, but yeah.
How extraordinary. So yeah. You're going from the Isle of Skye to Istanbul. You've been press ganged into it. The people you're supposed to be with haven't turned up yet. How are you feeling?
I'm excited. I can't wait. We'll have to see how it goes. I don't think we have any ambition to win the race, but it's the participation that counts, right?
Well, that's
so
a very gracious thing to
say. Take
it
easy, maybe be on the tortoise side of the tortoise and the hare, and who knows?
Okay, tell us what your plan is, and tell me about this interesting envelope. It says 133 Louise Kennedy.
I know. It did say in the race information that they emailed not to open it, and the first thing I nearly did when I got here is open it. So, but I've just been warned not to.
That's
so it's a surprise.
Opening
so I guess it's got the checkpoints in there, which you're not supposed to know in advance.
Okay.
So we will see. So our plan is to relax tonight and make a plan, and then leave tomorrow, which might be controversial. I know, right?
That is so
and then
controversial.
I've downloaded the app, so we'll be able to see where everyone's gone and what directions they're off in, and we're just going to relax and chill and then leave tomorrow.
You've got to get to Istanbul by Saturday sunset, otherwise you're completely
I mean
discovered.
We're definitely doing that. We're 100% doing that.
But hang on, if you're just kind of ambling Sunday evening towards Paris, and is there any apprehension, or is it all just a delicious anticipation?
It's delicious anticipation. I'm going to be with my two favourite human beings on the entire planet. It's just going to be fun.
Well, just as I was wishing Louise Kennedy luck, who should turn up but my good friend Bram Houtenbos. Bus, forgive me, have I got your name correct, Bram?
Near enough. It's Houtenbos. It's a
Houtenbos, of course. Silly me. Thank you very much. You've come all the way, I understand. Well, Louise has come all the way from Skye. You've come all the way from Norwood Junction.
That's right, yeah. It's not far to travel, but I'd be happy to do this race even if it was at the other end of the world.
I think you are the person who has described everyone here as being 100% self-selecting nerds.
I think I was mainly describing myself. I think other people can make their own determination as to how they wish to identify, but I certainly am one and I'm not ashamed of it.
You've turned up with an enormous backpack, and if I'm not mistaken, that is a very, very, very brief, beefy monopod for presumably filming your adventure.
Yeah, so my daughters are slightly disappointed they can't come along, so I've promised to them to document it as well as I could, and I think in the last couple of weeks there's a couple of people who've expressed an interest in following the race, so it'd be interesting to see if they could get an impression.
When you say your daughters are disappointed, are you absolutely sure they're disappointed, or do you think they might possibly just be saying, oh, Dad, we're disappointed, but actually they're thinking, thank goodness we don't have to race across Europe?
I've taken both of them individually on quite extensive trips across Europe, so I think it's genuine.
Tell us about we've just heard from Louise, who is team relaxed. Can you believe this? Louise and her two favourite people in the whole world, who, funnily enough, aren't you and I, that they aren't even setting off till tomorrow afternoon going to Paris. By which stage, where will you be, Bram?
That all depends on the checkpoints, but maybe Copenhagen, maybe Rome, maybe Budapest or further afield. It all depends on the checkpoints. They're critical.
I happen to know, because I've been following your travels with interest, that you made it to Bucharest in Romania, which is a very long way towards Istanbul, in 36 hours flat, public transport only.
It was 35 hours. It was from Bucharest to London. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it if you can't afford to miss a train, but it was a lot of fun. I just wanted to prove that it was possible.
And you've set, I guess, the little known Bucharest to London public transport terrestrially record. Tell us your overall strategy, because at this stage, of course, nobody knows where they will have to report to on these checkpoints after Paris. We know there's going to be three of them. So. What have you done? Have you made any preparations? Because the whole point of doing that is to stop people like you, who are absolute public transport experts, thinking, right, well, I'm going to be on the 432 from Vienna to Budapest, and then I'm going to get the... Yeah.
So I think we have a couple of the parameters. Knowing that if it's going to take 4 to 6 days without any overnight travel, I don't think the checkpoints can be all that extreme. So I think we can rule out northern Norway. I don't think we're going to be sent to the edges of the Iberian Peninsula. So I think it'll be somewhere in Central Europe. And I've booked a couple of kind of speculative journeys out of Paris in order to accommodate that.
And you are travelling on an interrail pass, presumably because that's the most economic way of doing it?
It would be, but the reservations might mean that I come a cropper a little bit. So a lot of the reservations out of Paris, and you do require them, are fully booked. So the regional trains are going to be so much slower, and that might hamstring me a little bit, bang, which is tricky.
You're listening to this, Louise. Are you thinking this is a completely different universe?
Yes, in a good way. I'm actually thinking, thank you very much for the learning, friend. Really helpful. Don't worry, I won't be that far behind you.
Oh, no. So have we... is this a bit of industrial espionage that's going on?
Absolutely.
You see,
absolutely.
And might
see,
be...
Beware the lady that says she has no competitors.
Yeah, exactly. Team Relax might suddenly be making... Yeah. Have all sorts of... And for you, Bram, it's a case of no sleep till the Bosphorus.
Ideally, yes, but I've strung together nights on sleeper trains before, and I know that it can be exhausting, so we'll see.
And for you, Louise, it's plenty of sleep, and maybe Istanbul one day in the next week?
Yes, absolutely. Plenty of sleep, I'm sure. Yoga, hopefully. I've brought my yoga mat, so I'll find somewhere to do that.
You've got a yoga mat?
Well, I will do shortly, but yeah.
Fantastic. the Zen and the art of crossing Europe. Thank you very much indeed. and the very best of luck to you both.
Thank you.
There's a number of family groups who are taking part in the race across Europe, including, well, can you introduce yourselves?
Oh, I'm Richard. Richard Davis.
I'm Joanna Davis.
And Richard, you have an extraordinary story to tell.
I have, yes. I mean, I was unfortunately diagnosed with terminal cancer about 18 months ago. And at that time, I didn't want any treatment. I was very ill, couldn't even climb the stairs at home. And my first appointment to oncology, I had to turn up in a wheelchair. I didn't want treatment, I didn't want admitted, but I agreed for a new trial of treatment. They were just tablets. And within a few days or a few weeks of starting treatment, I was starting to feel better. Actually, within 6 weeks, I was on the top of Slieve Donald, which is the highest peak in Northern Ireland. You know, at daybreak, you know, that would be a great one for mountain climbing. So I'm trying to make memories for my children. You know, this is Joanna, my youngest daughter. This is what we're planning. I've done a few things with the other children, you know. So I saw this sort of a couple of months ago. I thought, that's a good idea. We'll try that, you know. So this is... we're looking forward to it, so hopefully it'll be a good trip.
That's fantastic. Joanna, a really unusual idea of going across Europe by public transport. What are you looking forward to, and what might you be a bit apprehensive about?
I'm looking forward to spending time with Dad. A bit apprehensive because we haven't planned a single thing. It'll be fun. It'll be good to see everything in all the different countries.
Okay, you've got your competitor packs there. You can't open them yet. You know that you've got to get to Paris first. Have you organised that?
We've organised that. That's the only thing I've organised, and we've organised somewhere to stay tonight. So that's the only thing we've organised. Obviously haven't a clue how we're going to get to Istanbul. We have to see sort of where our stops are. I don't know how many stops we have, so... So we'll just play it by ear, and I'm fairly well used to just sort of planning things on the hoof. So we're just out to be part of hopefully a big team, and just to have the enjoyment of taking part.
As opposed to the race to get there as soon as possible.
I don't think I really want to race there and get there in sort of 2 days and spend sort of 2 days just sitting on the train. No, I'd like to sort of... We're talking about making team names, so I think we're going to be the Slow and Curious, you know. So it was just to have the experience and to see various places on the way.
Well, Joanna and Richard, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And, of course, I hope it is a wonderful and memorable trip for you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So a couple of late arrivals, still in good time. May I ask who you are, please?
My name's Alex.
And I'm Pippa.
And we're from Sheffield.
Have you just travelled down this morning?
No, we came last night after work. So we drove down to Stansted, left the car there, and then got the train into London.
Oh, and is that because you're flying back to Stansted?
It is, yeah.
Good thinking. Okay. So how are you feeling this morning?
Excited, apprehensive, really looking forward to know where the checkpoints are going to be. Slightly tired already. It was a very hard bed we slept in last night. really excited. How about you?
Also excited. Also don't know where we'll be later this evening. Yeah. Absolutely no idea what country or...
But hang on, you know that you've got to be in Paris.
But are we staying in Paris?
I don't think we'll be staying in Paris. I think we'll be swiftly moving on.
So you are really serious competitors, I think.
I think so. I do have a competitive streak.
But you've been waiting, I understand, quite a long time for this. Tell me more.
Yeah, I think we must have signed up within a couple of months of it, first being advertised, and that was pre-COVID. And then obviously COVID hit, and they postponed it twice, I think. So it's been for us, I think, 3 years in the making. We've been looking forward to this trip, so we're so pleased that it's finally come around.
And except there must be a fair amount of apprehension, isn't there?
absolutely. I mean, I think it's going to be a tiring week. I certainly had to sort of try and persuade Pippa that spending a week on public transport would be a good way, a good use of our annual leave, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because it's not your regular sort of holiday.
Okay, and you've got, you have an Interrail pass or anything?
We do. We bought an Interrail pass last night. We thought that would probably be the best option. We've been thinking about it for a while, haven't we? But last night we thought...
Bit last minute, Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, to be fair, I do usually plan my holidays very meticulously. So for me, this is very much out of my comfort zone because I've normally planned everything months in advance, spreadsheets, got plans by the half hour. So yeah, this is totally different for me. So we'll see. Maybe I'll be won over by the spontaneity.
Yeah.
Here we are at the... first checkpoint, and here is Tess and here is Dan, and you're wearing very smart the Lupine Trans-European Race 2023 London to Istanbul t-shirts, so very good. Oh, and you've got a couple of proper customers here.
Real customers.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's
Kate Foley and Rebecca Luxon.
There we go.
Thank you.
Sorry, Rebecca, yeah. And it was
Kate Foley.
Just a reminder not to open the packs yet.
Desperate to open them.
Okay, and there's sure coffee over there.
Yep. No worries.
Tess, I'm really interested in the trophy. It's kind of very much channeling Jules Rimet World Cup, isn't it?
It's
huge.
It's
this,
quite substantial.
It weighs a ton, yes.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good.
Yes.
And the winner, just remind me, has to get there as swiftly as possible without obviously any cheating.
Exactly.
When are you going to be at the finishing point to check them in?
Yes, exactly. I'll be there with James. And yeah, whoever gets there first will have to verify their journey and that they've gone through all the checkpoints. And then there'll be an award ceremony at the end where these very heavy, substantial awards will be handed out to the winners for fastest, but also the ones who've done it the cheapest and who've gone through the most countries. So there's three of these trophies.
And of course, anybody coming back on Wizz Air or Ryanair is going to find that they are then clobbered for cabin baggage charges.
Yes.
But never mind, I'm sure they will be very good.
You've been
involved in the planning. How has it been?
It's been great. It's been really fantastic seeing the idea develop from kind of conception 4 years ago to now being here in this space where 100 people are arriving to kind of, see out the race. It's been wonderful to see it kind of evolve.
Even though it's pouring with rain, as you can probably hear.
Well, it's very on point for British summer, isn't it?
Well, it seems like a bit of a plan to get to Strasbourg tonight, yeah?
Yep, that's nice. And we're there about 8 o'clock, so time for a...
Beer.
That's right.
Well, I plan to try and see how many different kinds of beer I can try.
Here we are. Can I ask who you are? Because you've got your map spread out now.
I'm Dave.
And Steve. Steve here. We're both from Bromsgrove, near Birmingham.
Yeah.
And you've got your Interrail map out. Just been revealed where you're going to have to check in. So talk us through what the challenge is now.
The challenge is, first of all, to get to Paris, yes? Do the check-in there, yeah? And then try and catch a train to Strasbourg, and stay the night in Strasbourg, and then the following day get to Munich.
The next check-in point after Paris is Munich. And we've chosen that. We had a choice of three. So we picked Munich.
And the others were Prague or Venice?
That's right, yes.
Okay, yeah. Now that you know what the challenges are, how are you feeling?
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Although I do know that the trains are not running between Belgrade and Sofia, so that's going to have to be a detour or a bus.
And what's your prediction now for when you will arrive?
4 days? 4 or 5 days?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah. No aim of winning, just going to enjoy the journey down and be there in time for the finish on Saturday.
Yeah.
James, tell us, here we are, you've made the final revelation. Tell us what the challenges are, now you can reveal them.
Yeah, so first they're off to Paris. We've added a theme, but it's a bit of a spy theme, so they're meeting a secret agent called Bob close to the Louvre.
It can't be that secret if he's called Bob and he's close to the Louvre.
Yeah, well, he never said he was a good spy. Then after that, they got a bit of a choice, so they can head on to either Prague, Munich or Venice to give them a bit of freedom of where they'd like to spend their time and also give them a bit more transport option.
Prague, Munich or Venice? Have you got other spies like Bob in those places?
No, so the checkpoints in those cities are kind of self-enforced, using, so they need to collect the receipts from a local business or an ATM balance receipt with an address and a timestamp, as well as a photograph of themselves in a specified location in each of those cities. After that, they kind of come back together in Belgrade, Serbia, or Yugoslavia in the mythos of the story. They'll head to the Nikola Tesla Museum, and there's a plaque of the great scientist himself outside where they'll take a pencil rubbing. Next, carrying on south to Plovdiv in Bulgaria to see the, you know, with the Roman ruins. There's a guest house there who are concealing a book for the entrance. So the password that Bob will give them in Paris, they'll give to the guest house. They'll provide them a copy of Murder on the Orient Express, but don't tell them that just yet. Each of them has a racer number, and they'll get to remove one page, which is a little tribute to the Barclay Marathons, where that's how they enforce their checkpoints, and they'll bring that page to the end in Istanbul. Before anyone thinks I've not thought of it, everyone's race numbers are odd, so they're not accidentally taking each other's pages out of the book. And then, yeah, then they'll come onto Istanbul, where myself, I'll be running the final checkpoint out of the lobby of a hotel after our original venue fell through. And then, yeah, then they've succeeded in their mission.
Yeah. Yeah. And James, are you sure you're not a spy?
I've been accused of it in the past. The name James does get you the joke at border officials of James Bond. But, yeah, no, I'm definitely not a spy. I don't think MI5 would have me at this point.
Well, James, thank you so much for talking us through this great enterprise. And thank you very much indeed for listening. Mick will be back very soon. Meanwhile, of course, you can contact us by tweeting at YouShouldHaveBT, or you can go to anchor.fm/YouShouldHaveBeenThere and leave us an audio message. Tell us what you think of the great Lupine Trans-European Race 2023. We'll be back very soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.